Did you notice how nice the sign looks out at the corner of the lot? Our young people and maybe some adults worked here at the building Saturdays a week ago and did a lot of things. We appreciate that. Did you notice how all the shrubbery looked outside? Neatly trimmed? I won't tell you who did that, but his initials are Jacob. Jacob, we appreciate what you're doing on that. And Terry fixes a lot of things around the building, and Denny fixes a lot of things around the building, and some of us don't have enough talent to fix anything around the building, but we appreciate what each one does. Had Brother Wendell Blumenberg's funeral this afternoon at 2. Everything went well. 45 minutes before his funeral started, we got news that another person had died that's a friend of mine, lady 100 years old. It's Iola Butterfield. As a child, she and her family homesteaded in Canada, lived in a mud house that they built. 100 years old. Can you think about living that old? That's Ron Butterfield's mother. Yeah. Some of you may know him. He's an elder at Henderson. And I'll have her funeral sometime in the next few days. Tonight, we're talking about the seven wonders of the world. I mentioned to you this morning, and by the way, Dennis and Molly, it's good to see you all back tonight. I mentioned this morning that you might think about that this afternoon and at least mentally make a list of what you consider to be the seven wonders of the world. I wish I had time to get all of you to do that and take up those papers and see what we said. A teacher was teaching a class, I think it was along about the sixth or seventh grade. One day she gave them the assignment, I want you to list the seven wonders of the world. They had been studying that. And when she took up the papers, all of them but one had one or more of these on the list. The pyramids, the Taj Mahal, the Grand Canyon, Panama Canal, the Empire State Building, St. Peter's Basilica, and China's Great Wall. One little girl in the class didn't have any of those. When she turned her paper in, here are the seven wonders of the world that she listed. To see, to taste, to hear, to touch, to feel, to life, and to love. I think she must have read or heard Psalm 77:14, Thou art the God that doest wonders. Hebrews 2:4, God also bearing them witness with signs and wonders. And Psalms 139, verse 14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I also think, as I think of those passages, of 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Those seven wonders listed by most of the students are certainly outstanding wonders of the world. It's hard to explain how they came about. I have seen three of those. I have seen the pyramids. I have seen the Grand Canyon. I have seen the Empire State Building. I have not seen the Panama Canal, but I have seen the Suez Canal, which is somewhat like it. All of these things are extremely impressive. It's hard to tell you what the Grand Canyon looks like. You've got to see it to really understand what kind of a place it is. The Empire State Building, back when I went to see it the first time, was the tallest building, I think, in the United States. Later on, I had the opportunity to go to Sears Tower in Chicago, which is much taller than the Empire State Building. In 1985, my wife and I had the opportunity to go to the Holy Lands, Bible Lands. And we got to go on to Egypt, and I saw the pyramids. In fact, we stayed in a hotel, and from the window of the room where we stayed, we could see the pyramids. And then we visited them along with the Sphinx. I tell you what, those pyramids are an amazing situation. Many of the blocks in the bottom part of it are so big that that table would look small compared to them. How the people at the time they were built got those blocks together and stacked and came up the pyramid is beyond my understanding or explanation. These are wonders of the world. But think about what the little girl said. To see. The eyeball is one of the most complicated instruments that can be studied. It's one of the most amazing instruments that can be studied. To realize that it works in such a way that I can see you and you can see me and we can see that beautiful sunny day that we had and that sunset that took place a few minutes ago. To be able to see is certainly something that is wonderful. Brother Blumenberg, whose funeral I had this afternoon, for the last few years has not been able to see. Oh, I think he could make out the difference between darkness and light, but he hasn't been able to see. We had a young man who went to school at Freed Hardeman back a few years ago, last name Hilliard, Randy Hilliard. He was blind. One of the best preachers you'll ever hear. He spoke one night on Wednesday night at the Henderson Church. He came before the service with someone helping him and walked up into the pulpit and felt where the pulpit stand was and got in his mind how big the pulpit stand was. When it was time to go up on the stage, he walked up there. When it was time to come to the podium, he came to the podium, preached an excellent lesson. I said something a few days after that to someone about how amazing it was to see a blind man do what he did, and the person said, "Blind?" And I got to talking to people, and most of the people in that audience didn't realize he was blind. He had been able to put things together to where he could speak and do such a wonderful job speaking. The preacher at Parsons for several years was a blind man. I don't know where he is now. But can you think about what it would be like to not to be able to see anything? To be able to have our eyes, and many of us wear glasses and contacts, and many of us have cataracts from time to time and things like that that we have to deal with, but the opportunity to see is a wonder. To taste, I'm thankful that I have that wonder, aren't you? Oh, I enjoy tasting things. I enjoy eating. I have the task tonight of trying to keep your attention when you know there's ice cream sitting over yonder in the other room. That's a task. Because I think all of us enjoy tasting, and frankly, I'm looking forward to tasting some of that, and especially that's homemade. Just being able to taste things. You know, so many times we rush at our meals. We sit down, sometimes even forget to say thanks. And we rush through them, and I've always been a fast eater, which is not good. We need to stop and taste the food that we have. To hear. My grandmother, even when I was just a little boy, was extremely hard of hearing. I think that's one of the reasons that I'm as loud as I am even today. I grew up talking to her, and I cannot whisper. But she couldn't hear. You know, sometimes I think people are talking about me when I can hear. And if I couldn't hear and you were standing there looking at me and talking, I just know you were talking about me. I'm thankful that I can hear. My hearing is exceptionally good. When I was in school at Tennessee Tech several years ago, they gave me a test along with other students in a health class. I could hear every sound, from the lowest to the highest. I'm not for sure that I can do that now. I was in a room years after that when a deer rifle went off in that room, and the sound was such that for a few days I couldn't hear well, and I think it's affected my hearing a little bit, but still, I can hear so well, and I shouldn't tell you this, that if you're standing back there at the back wall talking, I can probably pick up what you're saying, especially if I'm looking at you. So be careful about talking about me. I'm thankful. I wonder what it would be like not to be able to hear a sound. To touch. Think about what it means to be able to touch our loved ones. Just a handshake. That's a wonderful thing. Sometimes there are people who have no feeling left in their hands, and especially in their feet with some of the diseases that come. And they can stick their toe against something and not touch, not feel the touch at least. To be able to feel. You know, pain is something that I don't like. But I learned when my dad was sick how important it is to be able to feel pain. Dad had a stroke, and it knocked out his pain system. He could not feel any kind of pain whatsoever. It was to the extent that later on he had two heart attacks, and he didn't feel the pain. I think I've told you about this. One day I took him to the doctor, and he had his little finger in the side of the door where the hinges are, and the door was closing, and I happened to see it. It already cut down into the finger. He didn't feel a thing. I'm glad we can feel. I don't enjoy feeling pain, but sometimes being able to feel pain is what warns us that there are problems in the body. To life. Oh, I like that one. I try to spend my time getting people to life. I tell a lot of funny stories. I go down to the bank at home, and as I walk in, one of the tellers, "What story you got today?" My reputation precedes me. I believe we need to learn to life. That's a wonder. I'm not for sure that the animals can do that. And then the seventh one that she mentioned was to love. The ability to love. I don't know what extent some of the animals can have feelings of love. I think many of their relationships are out of instinct. I am convinced that there is no part of God's creation that is able to experience the real emotion of love except the human part of His creation. He made us in His image, so we would expect to have that ability, since He has the ability to love and shows that love in so many ways. But you think about those seven things, and I'm thinking about them at this point more from a physical standpoint, just what we do on a day-to-day basis. To be able to see, to taste, to hear, to touch, to feel, to life, and to love. And if I had been adding another one to that, I would add to think. You know, that's a wonderful thing that God has given us, the ability to think. And out of that, to reason, to be able to come to some conclusion in a reasonable way of common sense. But let's go back and look at these again from another standpoint. I think there's more when you're talking about these seven things than just the physical idea. We have been given the ability to see. To make every man see what is the fellowship of the mystery, Ephesians 3 and verse 9. You hear some people say you can't know the truth, you can't see what God has said. We can too. We can see the message on the printed page. God has delivered His message to us and has arranged so that it could be printed and preserved to where we have it today. You and I have the ability to see God's Word, to see the evidence of Him all around us, and to see, as the Bible sheds its light upon the truth, exactly who God is, what He means to us, and who His Son is. To taste in a spiritual sense. A few times through the Bible where someone was told to take a little book and eat it. Even in the book of Revelation, remember the little book that He talked about to eat? It would be bitter in one place and sweet in another place. He was talking about eating the message. Being able to eat and digest the spiritual food of God's Word is a wonderful thing. Hebrews 5 talks about there being the milk of the gospel and there being the strong meats of the gospel. The setting where he talks about that is said we're old enough and mature enough that we ought to be able to understand the more meaty type of God's Word, and we need again to go back to the milk. Well, I'm thankful that we can taste both. That we can taste the simple, easy to understand things in this Word, and then that we can eat the meaty part of the gospel and understand it. Then to hear. There are a lot of people in the world tonight who have never heard that Jesus Christ exists. There are a lot of people who have never heard who God really is. Think about how many times you and I have had the opportunity to hear about God, to hear about Christ, to understand how God sent Christ to this earth and how He died on the cross and how He shed His blood for our sins. Sometimes when a preacher's long-winded, we'll talk about we don't like to sit there and listen. But you know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to hear God's Word. I believe that our sermons ought to be of reasonable length. But I believe we ought to realize how wonderful it is to be able to sit and hear the message of God and open it and read it and to hear in that sense what God wants us to do and what He's done for us. That's a wonderful thing. To be able to touch in a spiritual sense, to be brothers and sisters in Christ, and to touch the lives, have an effect upon the lives of one another, influence the lives of one another and other people. What a wonderful thing that is. It is said in Hebrews 4 that Jesus is a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The passage gives that with two negatives, but if you take the two negatives out, that's what he's saying. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows when we're hurting, and He cares when we are hurting. There are those in Ephesians 4:19 described who are past feeling, give themselves over to lasciviousness, to work uncleanness and ungodliness. It's wonderful to be able to feel the right things, and it's wonderful to be able to feel the feelings of one another when we hurt and when we share with each other. To laugh, I believe God had a sense of humor. I believe He intended for us to be happy. Merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, Proverbs 15:13. Doeth good like a medicine, Proverbs 17:22. And then perhaps the greatest wonder of it all is the ability to love. To understand God's love in our direction, to understand the love of Christ in our direction to the extent that He gave Himself for us, then to understand that we have the ability to love God, which is the first commandment mentioned by Jesus in Matthew 22, and the ability to love each other, to have feelings of love. To me, one of the saddest things is to see somebody who really doesn't have many people that love that person. I mentioned a funeral this afternoon and another one on the horizon. I've had a few funerals down through the years where the person who had passed away did not have a living relative. And sometimes seemingly didn't have any friends. It'd be hard for me to imagine. As you know, I've gone through the loss of a wife 3 years ago. Live by myself now. But I have so many friends. Of course, I have family that loves me, and I love them. Last night, my neighbor brought me a slab of ribs about that long and about that wide. And don't you wish you lived next door to me? And I immediately thought, I can't eat these. If I cut them up and freeze them, they won't be as good. I picked up a phone, called one of my friends, a couple that are both friends, and I said, what are you having for supper? Leftovers. I said, how would you like to have a rib supper? Well, that sounds good. I said, bake some potatoes and fix a salad, and I'll bring the ribs. And I just invited myself in. And I've been known to do that before and probably will do that in the future. Having friends where you have love. I feel like I'm loved by people. And that I have the opportunity to love others. And I'm impressed with the fact that there is seldom a prayer led here at Madison County, but that something's said about that. And the ringleader in it is Bill Brandon. Have you ever heard Bill lead a prayer that he didn't say something about the love that we have in this congregation? And pray that it will continue. The ability to love. Even though we're somewhat small, look at what we've got. We're not the Grand Canyon. We're not the pyramids. We're not the Empire State Building. But folks, we have the ability and the opportunity to see, to taste, to hear, to touch, to feel, to life, and to love. In a physical sense, and especially in a spiritual sense. And I think that's really what matters. You and I are fearfully and wonderfully made physically, but we're more so fearfully and wonderfully made spiritually. And with all these things that we see and experience and hear about in the world that are wonders, just the wonder of being made in the image of God and having the opportunity to live as a child of God gives us what I believe to be the real seven wonders of the world. And really, it comes down that there's one wonder, and that's God. We stand in awe. You remember that word? And that word awe means We stand in awe of God, and that's where the word ought to be used, not as frivolously as it is used sometimes with other things. That means that we look at God, and it's beyond our understanding. It's beyond our comprehension, really, to understand how great He is and how great His love is. That's the greatest wonder of them all. And He loved us enough to give us an opportunity to be Christians and to live as Christians. If you haven't been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, or if you, as a Christian, need to ask for forgiveness, one of the great wonders is that God offers that forgiveness when we are obedient to Him. If you need to come, come as together we stand and sing.
Oh, to Jesus, I